Hi, I am Kelly Rotring, the host of Your Life as a Story podcast. I will be talking to everyday people in our community who have interesting, unique, and unexpected life stories. Thanks for joining us. Today, I talk with Athena Monet about her life as a shaman. Hi, Athena. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. I know you're a very busy person.
Thanks for having me on. I'll always make time for you.
Oh, thanks. I know we were trying to figure out, I find your life very fascinating, and we were figuring out what we were going to talk about exactly, because I know you're a mom with a blended family with five children.
Yes.
You run a very busy business. You're in the process of writing a book.
Yeah.
What is this, your third book?
Second.
Your second book. Yep. Okay.
Second book. Yeah.
And what was the first, what's the name of your first book?
Leave with Love.
Okay. Leave with Love. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your second? Do you have a title for your second book?
I do. It's Blended with Love. So it's about blending families. The first one's about leaving relationships and finding peace, compassion, self-love after you leave a relationship, which could be a very difficult process and journey. So the book is a guide to try to help you to make the most out of that transformational period. And the next book, Blended with Love, is basically a journey of blending families and doing so with grace and with unconditional love. So a lot of this.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
How far along are you with that book?
I'd say, so I have it completely outlined and probably about halfway through the manuscript, probably like halfway.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I can't wait to read it.
It is. Yeah. I think a lot of people could use that mirror and that support and guide through, because so many families are blending right now. It's so common.
And you and I have known each other for a few years, and I'm currently working with you in your soul medicine group. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that a little bit and what exactly the soul medicine group is that you run.
Yeah. So I love that you're in it. That's amazing. You'd probably be the best to explain it from the user side. But soul medicine actually was born pre-COVID, years before COVID. So it was more like, I'd say 7 years ago. I started soul medicine. I was invited as a guest presenter to our town. Had this big event when the Heal documentary came out. A lot of different practitioners, holistic practitioners all over the country, were hosting events where they were screening the movie Heal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a documentary, and it's about, you know, alternative and holistic healing. Healing at the roots. And so our community came together, did a screening, and I was invited to present, and I was asked to have an offering at the end of the event so that if people liked me and they wanted to work with me, they had something that they could enroll in or participate in with me. And so I just real quick wrote up this, I think it was 6 weeks at the time, 6 week soul medicine program. And it was basically the culmination of all the different types of soul level work that I do with clients in private session. I laid it out across 6 weeks. So we did some energy and chakra balancing work, some inner child work. We did some, oh my goodness, ancestral work, past life. We just dabbled into a little bit of every form of soul healing over 6 weeks. And it was women. It was for women. And I put together a flyer, wrote up the program, put it out. And then I hosted the first group in person at, oh my gosh, where did I do it? I think I did it. I was working at Quakertown Wellness in Lewis at the time. And I want to say I did it at the local yoga studio. And that was before I opened my own studio. So then the program was successful. So I started running it in a couple of rounds. And I did it again when I opened up Lanikai Wellness Studio. I ran it out of my own studio, and women would come in and we would do this work, and it was wonderful. And then COVID happened. And I was like, well, no more in-person gatherings. But I was invited on a virtual summit with Nicole Sachs for the Freedom from Chronic Pain. I had been in the in-person Freedom from Chronic Pain retreat up in New York, and she invited me to do the virtual one during COVID. And I said, okay, well, since she's organized everything, because I was really averse to Zoom at the time, I was like, I'm not doing Zoom.
I remember that.
So she had everything set up. A few different organizations had everything set up, so I didn't have to learn Zoom in the beginning. They just would bring me in, and then I would just have to click like join meeting, and I was like, that's fine, because I was not about learning how to set up a Zoom account. I didn't want to do any of it. But Nicole said to me the same thing that I'd heard a couple years before. She's like, you need to have a program offering so that if people really like you in this summit, they can sign up and work with you. And I was like, well, I have soul medicine, so I guess I could figure out how to make it virtual, because we didn't know when the world was going to open back up. So I decided to offer the 6-week soul medicine program virtually during COVID. And I got a really great group of people. Went really well. So I ran that in a few rounds. And after a few rounds of people signing up again and again and kind of asking for something maybe more continuous, I thought, you know what? I could, instead of doing these 6-week rounds, what if I just made it like a regular ongoing program? And I basically shifted the format, recorded some pre-recorded videos that my clients could also access on their own at home when Soul Medicine wasn't live. I put together a workbook and I set it up kind of like an online course membership program. And that was in 2020, I think. 2020, maybe 2021. Fast forward, I decided to go ahead and go through the trademarking process, which took about a year and a half with my attorney. Oh, wow. And got that approved last March. So we're just literally a year away from getting the trademark approved. I built an entirely separate site for Soul Medicine, and I started to bring in other practitioners and facilitators. So it's just been kind of growing into its own cool thing.
That's pretty awesome. Now, for people who don't know you, you live in Lewis, Delaware, small beach town. And you are a practicing shaman, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
My dog.
The dog agreed. The dog said
yes. The dog said yes.
That's hysterical.
Yes, we live in Lewis and she's a shaman.
Oh my gosh. So how did you become a shaman? Like, what was that process like?
Yeah. It was funny. Somebody asked me that the other day and I was like, I became a shaman the old fashioned way, where you go through an initiation of illness and you think you're going to die or you almost die. And then you go to a shaman and then they heal you. And then they tell you that you're a shaman. So that's kind of the traditional route.
How long ago was that happened?
That was 8 years ago. Yeah, okay. That was 8 years ago. I had just had my daughter, a little more than 8 years ago, maybe. I just had my daughter. And I had lost my mom right before my daughter was born, a few months before she was born. And I just, after having her, I had two other kids. I had a toddler who had just turned 2 and a newborn baby and an 11-year-old. And I came down really sick. I was just in the grind, you know, being a mom. I was staying home at the time. I had left my city. We lived in DC and we moved to the beach. And I left my profession, which was, I was working in architecture for a decade. So I left my profession. I left my city. I'm in this new place. I lose my mom. I'm having a new baby. I know no one. And then I get sick. Yeah. Wow. So I got really sick.
That's a lot.
Uh-huh. And also when she passed, I lost my grandfather and grandmother also. So it was three. It was a lot of loss within a 4-month period of time as well of my family members. And so here I am. I was isolated and I just came down with this bizarre gastrointestinal issue. And all three of my family members that had passed they all pass from colon cancer. And so I was having some gastrointestinal pain, and a lot, I was in and out of the hospital. I was vomiting every day for about 7 months. I lost a ton of weight. I could barely breastfeed. I was in pain as well. Every time I would eat, my body would be in physical pain. And the doctors, they would send me all over for testing, and then it would come up kind of inconclusive. And eventually I reached this point where I was like, I don't want to live anymore. Even with these kids, this is just no way to live. I can't function. I'm constantly in the doctors and in the hospital. And my neighbor had told me about this shaman. And so I was desperate one day. I remember it very vividly. I was driving back from up north in Delaware, where I had to get a gastric emptying study done. And I knew, right, I had a strong intuition already at the time. And I knew that they were not going to find anything, right? I'm like, they're not going to find. And I was so sure that I had some form of cancer that they just weren't catching. So I drove back home and I was in tears and I whipped out my phone and I was like, I've got to call that shaman lady that my neighbor told me about. So I called her on my drive back because it was like an hour and a half drive. And she was in her office and she's like, well, I can take you today. Why don't you just come straight here? And I was like, okay, called my babysitter, asked if she could stay a little longer with the kids. And I went in and the shaman, I'd never had an experience like that, but she laid me on the table. She was like covering her hands, you know, when you're completely new to it, you're kind of like, what is going on? Yeah. I remember thinking that, like, I was very open-minded. I was a yogi. I'd been practicing yoga at the time for, you know, 15 years. And so it wasn't completely far out, but I had not experienced anything like it. She put me on my belly. She was shaking my legs out. I mean, it was a lot and very powerful. And then she turns me back over and she sits me up and she's like, she didn't know me. We'd never talked before a day in my life. And she says to me, what are you sad about? And I was like, ooh, right? And I just started bawling and I was like, I miss my mom. You know, she's like, she's right here. And I was like, what? And she's very, we're still friends. I call her my shaman mama. We just had lunch a week ago. And she's very blunt, very direct. She wears tennis shoes and jeans, you know, like super cool lady in a big t-shirt. She's like, she's right here. And I was like, what? And she's like, she's literally right here. And she starts channeling messages from my mom and my uncle who had passed when he was 11. And so she's saying things that she could not have known. So I'm just blown away right off the bat. I'd never had an experience with a medium or anything like this. And so having her say these things that this total stranger could not have known, I was speechless. And she was saying to me, you know, your mom had these gifts. She was clairvoyant. And I was like, yeah, you know, I know. And she's like, so you're clairsentient. And I was like, oh my God. And I started bawling. I was like, I just learned what that word means. Like, I didn't even know what the word meant. I literally just come across that word. And this is how the spirit world will guide us, 1 or 2 days before the session. Because I just thought something was wrong with me all these years. You know, I would feel so much and see things and receive information about people. And sometimes it would be so intense that I would start crying. I would feel something around someone and I'd feel like almost like a movie that I was associating with that person. I would see the movie play before my eyes and then I would feel the feelings and then I would just feel sad and like sometimes cry, like actually cry. And she's like, yeah, that's clairsentience. And she's like, that's a gift. You could be a shaman. And I was like, what? And so she started to ask me, what do you want to do for your job? Like as for with your life, you know, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know, but I do not want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I do not want to do this. I can't. And I was like, I don't want to go back to architecture. I guess I'll just teach yoga at that point. I had a yoga teacher certification and I was part-time teaching yoga. And then for friends, I would read tarot cards at parties, but I never thought anything of it. It was just like a fun yogi thing. And so she's like, you have a gift with the cards and all these things. And, you know, maybe you want to do a shaman training. And I was like, okay, let me think about it. Right. So she told me essentially as I left that day that I needed to grieve and that if I didn't grieve, it would become cancer. That was the nutshell of the pain in my body that I had been experiencing all that time and the sickness. So I went home that night and I was just blown away by all of her messages. I called my sister, I called everybody and I told them. And I remember, I think it was my sister was like, did she tell you how to grieve? And I was like, no. So I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't know. No, she didn't tell me how to grieve. So I sat down in prayer and I just asked, I was like, you know, dear God, like if you can hear me, how do I grieve? And I heard Mac in my mind write a letter to mommy. And I was like, okay. So that very night, same night that I saw the shaman, I wrote a letter to mommy. And the next day, I woke up and I was healed. Like I was fine, totally fine. And yeah, it was wild. And I told people, and I tell people this today because I still get clients with chronic pain and health issues and certain things. And I tell them, I say, I understand when you go through what feels like a miraculous healing, you question if it's real or if it's going to last or if you're making it up in your mind. Like it, you don't believe it. It doesn't seem real. And it took me a while to believe that I was actually healed. It took a while because I was like, okay, it's going to come back tonight. It's going to come back tomorrow. And then the next day I'm like still afraid to eat because it's probably going to come back as soon as I eat. And then eventually weeks and weeks went on and it never came back. And I've been fine ever since for 8 years.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, did you ever have a conversation with your mom about this or about her gifts beforehand, like when you were a child growing up?
So what she would tell us was if a family member was passing, this was really common that they would, on their way out, they would visit her in the night and they would tell her that they were leaving. She would have a conversation with them. And then she would kind of tell us in the morning, such and such passed. And then we would get a call that they had passed. So that was very common. We did know that our family had a house that was like a family house. It had stayed in the family for generations in Ohio, where I grew up mostly. And I would hear stories, you know, from family members about the ghosts of old souls that were in the house or people seeing things floating in the bathroom or a woman upstairs. Like I would hear a lot. Our family had a lot of stories about seeing things and seeing what we would call ghosts or spirits. You know, that was pretty common, but also we didn't talk about it too much. It was just like, it would be like, oh, today we talked about it and then it was over and done with. And there was never another conversation about it. So that was kind of the extent of it. I did have my my great-grandmother on my mom's side was a healer with the church. I want to say both my great-grandmothers were on both my mom's sides, her mom, her dad. And they were both healers with the church. One was Jehovah's Witness. One was... I don't know, some form of Christian, like, I don't know exactly what her, it wasn't quite Baptist, it might have been Episcopalian, like, I forgot exactly what her church was, but they both were healers. One was definitely more into the herbs and into the plants and making medicines and home remedies, and I still feel her presence. She still presents herself to me when I need help with my own kids or with myself. I'll see her or I'll hear her and she'll tell me she'll tell me herbs like this. The other grandmother would lay hands and that's very much aligned with what we call Reiki. today. A lot of people do Reiki. In the Christian church and in certain churches, they still say laying of hands. It's all the same thing. Jesus traveled all over to learn these practices, and then he brought them back, right? So I'm aware now, but at the time when I was growing up and my great-grandmother was laying hands on people and speaking these prayers over people, I would see her and I would see people come into the house to have it done, and I would think it was a total crock. Like, I was like, whatever. You know, at the time, I was like, that's not real. I didn't believe in it at all. Not at all. And I grew up around it, and I thought it was a total crock.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, I remember when I was introduced to Reiki, I had... Well, this was after we were in our car accident and our son passed away. So I was doing physical therapy, acupuncture, and massage therapy. And one day I was waiting for my appointment with the massage therapist, and there was, you know, business cards on a bulletin board, and there was a business card for Reiki. And I was looking at it, and she said, "I think you should call her." And I said, "But what is Reiki?" And she said, "Well, it's a form of energy healing, and I think it would be good for you. I think you should give her a call." And I said, "Okay." So I called Lois and I said, "I don't know what you do and I don't know what I need, but I was told to give you a call." And she said, "Okay," you know, made an appointment, and I went to see her. And I remember I laid on the table and she got out the crystal bowls, and I was like, "Am I being punked?" Because I said, "What is this?"
Right.
I was trying to have an open mind, but I was just like, "What in the world is this stuff?" And I felt so much better when I left there. And I remember going home and saying, "I don't know what she did, and I don't know how she did it, but it was amazing, and I want to go back." So I did. I started going back more. And then she ended up being my teacher. She ended up being my Reiki instructor. And so, you know, I'm a Reiki master now. And that's kind of how I became introduced to it. But I still, to this day, I'm still skeptical about, you know, about that. I still question everything.
Right, me too. Like, is it doing anything? Exactly. I teach it and everything. And I still, same. I think, and I tell my students this in my trainings, that skepticism is healthy. And that's an indication that you're still grounded in this world. Because that's really important when you start dappling in other realms and other dimensional frequencies. It's really important that you be able to be grounded and centered in the 3D, because I've seen people lose their damn minds, you know, right? I've seen it where they just go way far out and they're no longer in touch with this world. So skepticism is healthy, and I think it's a good barometer of letting you know that you're still here, you're still in this world, you're not crazy. If you have some skepticism, you're not crazy, right? And the word crazy, that word can be a little triggery, I understand. And I mean, and when I say it, I mean it with no offense, because there's times where I ask myself, am I crazy? You know, have I lost my mind? And usually if you're asking yourself that, that's also a good barometer that you're not.
Right, exactly. So I know that part of your business model is you do shaman training. Now, to become a shaman, I was wondering about this. Is this something that everybody can be taught, or is this something that you're born with?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of people ask that question. I honestly, I like to speak for myself and what I hear from the spirit world, and you know what I believe for myself and what I hear from the spirit world. I'll start with what I believe for myself. What I believe for myself is yes, that anyone can be trained and learn. And some people do it without any training. They spontaneously journey out of their body and into other realms. So the shaman is someone who is a traveler. You're moving between realms. You're a storyteller and a channeler. So you're learning how to move between realms, speak with the spirit world, and then channel that to this world, the 3D world, which is why staying grounded in this world is so important. What the spirit world tells me in response to that question, because I literally just started hearing a lot when you asked that, they say that everyone has a capacity, but not the same capacity. So it would be like they're giving me the example of a swimmer, right? So some people, let's say they have broad shoulders and their capacity to be an Olympic swimmer, a world-class swimmer, might be more natural, might be stronger based on their anatomy and their physical makeup. And others can be trained, but they still might not have that same advantage as someone whose body is built for that. So the same goes for shamanism. Our brains are all wired differently. Someone who is moving the path of the shaman most likely has experienced certain trauma that has actually wired their brain so that they have the capacity to travel outside of their body, right? So that is what we call, in a clinical sense, dissociation, right? And generally you learn how to dissociate through trauma. There are other means, but that's kind of the general way. And that then affects your brain chemistry, which then, and I've had my brain mapped, has set me up because of my trauma in childhood, has set me up that I can control moving in and out of my consciousness and in and out of my body at will. And it does show on my maps.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I know you're getting ready. I know you're getting ready to start another shaman training session. And those are what, 12-week sessions?
Yeah. We're starting today. 12 weeks.
Oh, today's when you start?
Spring session starting today.
Oh, that's
it
exciting.
Is. Yeah. I'm excited. We've got an awesome group. And I see such incredible differences every session in the groups that come in. So yeah, the universe has a way of bringing together the right people at the right time to learn and study and grow together. And sometimes I'm like, I'm just showing up here to be a channel and facilitate, and everything else is orchestrated.
Oh, that's awesome. I know that in the soul medicine group, if anybody's interested in getting more information about that, so I can just speak from my experience, you have different days and different times that you can come on to do like live Zoom meetings. And typically there's a topic, or you kind of have an idea. The facilitator kind of has an idea what they want to talk about. And there's a lot of meditation, a lot of journaling, and sharing, which it's been pretty powerful, because I've been in the group for a few months now, and I've seen a huge shift in myself just in those few months. And the group of women that you have, it's a really awesome group of women.
It is. Yeah, I got chills when you said that. It's like girlfriends, right? It feels like you're sitting with your girlfriends, just digging in and doing some work, some personal growth work together and healing together and digging in. I feel like for a lot of our women, they've come from maybe some religious trauma or disconnect with whatever faith they might have grown up with, or maybe they never had one. And so we have women that come in and really need that safe space to reconnect with their higher self, reconnect with their spiritual self and spiritual power, whatever that higher power might be. I think it's a really awesome space to be able to come to when you don't have the traditional church group, Bible study, you know, women's group through that spiritual sense.
Do you think, because I know at one point you were doing in-person offerings, because Lily was part of a group that you did for like teens, young adults, teens. And that was, and you do have a soft spot for children. I think you do really well with kids. And she really enjoyed being part of that group. Is that something that you think you'll ever start to do
again?
Yeah,
that's been coming up lately. I do. I love kids. So I've been thinking about and just trying to work out the logistics of locations. I have a couple of locations lined up now here at the beach. I had toyed around with virtual, but it wasn't catching as well as the adult virtual was. Then I also created a teen course online, the Teen Spirit course. So I took the curriculum from what Lily participated in, and I did the same thing when COVID happened. I took that curriculum, kind of created, it was primarily around identity, understanding our identity, celebrating our identity, and I made it specific to teens. And I included some fun exercises, like pulling your birth chart, which we would do in Teen Spirit. We would pull our birth chart to better understand and accept ourselves and accept and see how different we are, and that sometimes our families and the outside world might try to project onto us who we should be. But when we understand our chemical makeup, our astrological makeup, it helps us to accept who we are. And I think a lot of teens need that. So I put together the teen course, and I made it so that they could just, at their own pace, at home, at midnight, whatever, they could watch those videos, they could do those exercises. And I got really great feedback from some of the teens that did it. I remember my son's girlfriend at the time, because I gave her the login so she could do it. And she's like, oh my God, I haven't cried that hard in my life, you know? And she was telling me how
healing.
Yeah. She was like, it was so powerful and so healing. Some of the exercises, because I have videos of me guiding through shamanic journey, but I'm guiding the teens through. And I had no idea that they were going to receive it so well. And now the counselor at the high school has it, so she can give it to whatever student she feels it's a good fit for. So that's out there. And then, yes, I've been toying with, I do some work with the high school here and there. And it had been virtual. And then now we're transitioning back to in-person and just trying to figure out how to navigate that. But the teens need it, the kiddos, I mean, our own kids, I'm like, please let me come and help you in the school. They will let me come teach yoga and meditation from time to time in preschool.
Oh, that's great.
And the kids love it, and we'll do some visualization together. But it hasn't been a regular thing, but I think they all need it.
I think the kids, though, I don't know if you feel this way. I think they're kind of done with virtual stuff. I think there's a little trauma associated with, like, you know, I think they're just really sick of doing Zoom virtual things. I think they're ready to be, like, back in person and face to face with people and getting out of the house. I don't know if you're noticing that shift.
They like TikTok. The kids love TikTok. I'm like, I don't think I want to do TikTok for anybody. That's not for me.
I deleted TikTok. I'm not on it anymore.
Yeah. I never use it, but my girls, I'd say all of my kids, like you said, I have five. So I'd say all of them were wanting to create videos in TikTok. So what I did during COVID was I agreed to create a private account that nobody could actually see, but that they could create videos on.
Okay.
So I did let them do that. I was not in support of putting videos of my kids out into the internet sphere, dancing and all that. Right. So it just wasn't comfortable for me. So I let them do that, and their friends would come over, and we got the tripod light and things, and they would dance and make little fun videos. And I still have them, but they were never public. And I haven't done TikTok. It's not for me. Yeah. It's not for me.
I agree. So I wanted to ask you, who inspires you? Like who or what inspires you to keep doing the fabulous things that you're doing?
Ooh, who inspires me? It's funny. So I always like to go with the first person that pops in my mind. And that changes, I'm sure, from day to day. But when I saw the question, the first person that popped in my mind was Tracy Ellis Ross. Do you know her?
Okay.
Diana Ross's daughter. I'm a huge fan of her on so many levels. But I love her spirit, just her joyful spirit. She dances, she's silly, she doesn't take herself too seriously, but also she's got really great style. She's gorgeous, she's fabulous, she's a badass. She's created a hair care line. I think she might have collaborated on a clothing line, and she's been on wonderful shows, and she's a philanthropist, and I feel like she, and no, she doesn't have five kids, but I feel like she's a really great example of just doing what brings you joy and what you feel like is helpful to the world. And so I love that. And then you can look fabulous and do it at the same time.
Right.
And you
right.
really can look fabulous. Like, I love that about her. So she was one who pops in my mind as someone who just a really great example of authenticity.
Mm-hmm. I love that answer. Yeah.
There's so many, but I love her so much. And there's a lot of great spiritual teachers. Michael Beckwith is my favorite spiritual teacher. And so, and I've told David for years, I'm like, I want to be the female version of Michael Beckwith, because I will never forget how I felt watching his videos in my hard times in life, and just watching him speak. Would soothe my soul and bring me back to center, and it would give me hope, right, in hard times. And he just had this beautiful, gentle way of delivery, and this way of like reinstilling your faith when you lost it. He's just so great. So I'd say Michael Beckwith, like, hands down, my favorite spiritual teacher. He started the Agape Church out in LA. Just wonderful, wonderful visionary spiritual teacher. And Wayne Dyer, love him too.
Okay.
So, yeah, those who have shown, like, Wayne Dyer wrote children's books, you know, he wrote children's books, developed oracle cards, and same thing, this beautiful, gentle spirit that could give you hope when you were feeling like hope was lost, and then put you back in touch with your power, but in a gentle way. I definitely strive to be like those guys.
Okay. Those are good answers. That's funny. The dog is chiming in again. and then another question I wanted to ask you is, what brings you joy?
Ooh, what brings me joy? Music and outside. I'd say like those two things, music and outside. And usually when I'm doing it with the people I love. Okay. So when I'm feeling down, if I just go outside, I will feel instantly better. We live in a pretty beautiful place. So being in the trees, being on the water, literally step out and I feel like, you know, anything that was in the way of joy, it falls away and I'm restored. And music is medicine for me. So I'll pump it up. Sometimes it'll be like, you know, girl power music. Sometimes it'll be rock, sometimes it'll be soothing, sometimes it'll be hard rap, like whatever it needs to be. Right. So whatever, there's so many forms of music that bring me joy, but it anytime, that's what brings me joy. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So if people wanted to find you and learn more about your work, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. My website is hopefully pretty easy to navigate. So www.seasideshaman.com. Also, I'm pretty active on Instagram with, like, I try to keep up with the messages because people do message me there as well. So if someone were to message me on Instagram, I would catch that and be able to respond. So the Seaside Shaman on Instagram, or through the messaging on my website. It's the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Okay. And I can attest to your work, and, you know, that you're just, you know, a beautiful soul doing great things. And I think that people are just drawn to you with your authenticity and your kindness. And you're a joy to know and to work with. So I appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. I reflect that back. I'm so grateful that I get to work with you. And I tell David, I'm like, it's so crazy. I feel like I work with my friends. What a great feeling. You know, it's like, it feels wrong to get paid to work with your friends, but.
Hey, it's a good gig if you can get it.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm so grateful.
Is there anything else that you would like to share that you would like people to know?
No, I think we covered a lot. You know, we covered the trainings, and we covered the book, and we covered soul medicine. I feel like this year, 2024, a lot of us are being called, as we already know, to really step up and into these awesome new versions of ourselves, these higher versions of ourselves. And with that comes some reservation, some self-doubt, some fear, some needs sometimes to break through certain blocks that we might be facing. And I am happy to remind whoever hears this that you never have to do that alone. And I hear people in the last 2 weeks, I've heard so many people to the point where I started laughing when people say it, where they're like, I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm like, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to. So they start to be kind of funny because people think they have to figure everything out.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, you don't. You're here to live and enjoy life and maybe take one step. Know what you want, but maybe you don't have to figure everything out on the way there. You actually don't, because the way can be made for you, especially in this new world that we've stepped into. The way can be made for you, so you don't have to figure it all out. You just have to know what you want. That's the hardest part, maybe.
Right, that's true.
So we're here, you know, soul medicine's here, and I'm here to help people to let go of certain mindsets that are getting in the way of them actually arriving or the way being made to what you want. Because sometimes you are the thing that's blocking you from getting there.
Yep. I have personal experience with that. Get out of my own way.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the way is like literally being paved. You're like standing in the middle of like the way. And it's like, move out right. of the way.
Right, like move.
Yeah, step aside. Step aside. Way being paved. So sometimes you just need, and myself included, sometimes I just need someone, if it's my partner or one of my shaman friends, to remind me like, hey, you actually don't have to worry about that. Like, it's about to happen. So just go enjoy yourself. Go relax.
Right.
Sometimes we need someone to reflect that back and remind us. So I'm happy.
And sometimes your kids will do that for you too. Your kids will give you a good dose of reality.
Oh my God. They'll distract you from yourself.
Right. Or they'll just tell you like it is.
Right. I totally have that. Lots of that here in this house.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This was awesome. I'm excited for your podcast.
Oh, thanks for your support. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Life as a Story podcast. If you could like, subscribe, and share, it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.